does covenant play a role in not only the lens we should use, but in the role that maybe God used to unpack redemptive or human history?
Absolutely. I think covenant is probably the most important concept in understanding the Old Testament as an unfolding story, as well as understanding, again, how we know God and relate to him.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. I'm really excited about this episode today, Tim. As always, always good to be with you. But today we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart, truly. For the last 12 years, I've been a cinematographer, a videographer, right? And story is everything to me. And so I kind of want to start us today with a quote. And obviously, everything that we're going to talk about related to story is going to be related to the Old Testament as it relates to the New Testament and as the unified body of Scripture, right? But yes. I want us to think first about story and kind of just unpack this together. So let me start with a quote. There was a book by a man named Dr. Albert Mohler, and he wrote a book called Conviction to Lead. Now, here's the quote that I want to have us interact with this morning. Here's what it says. The most important truths come alive through stories, and faithful leadership is inseparable from the power of story. We are narrative creatures. God made us this way. We are the keepers of stories. Now, I want to think about this. Does story still matter today? I think we would all say probably yes, right? We all love a good story. But why? Why does story really matter to basically all generations, all cultures from all time, all across the globe have always valued stories? Why?
Yeah, what a great question. And I'm so excited for this episode because as we think about story, story is what we live our lives out of. So we are all living out a story, whether we recognize it or not. And so the question is, what story are we living out? Mm. All of our decisions, all of our values, our attitudes, it's all flowing out of how we understand ourselves in the world and the story of what's unfolding. So as we relate that to the Old Testament, can I tell you a little story myself?
I like stories.
So Valissa and I, we were together one night. She was watching a TV show, and she kind of told me about it, but she was watching an episode. And so I kind of, you know, looked over and she was watching, I think, on a computer. And I watched, you know, 5 minutes of this episode. Mm-hmm. And I thought this is the lamest thing that I've ever seen. I'm like, this doesn't seem interesting to me at all. This is just like, it didn't make sense. I didn't know who the characters were. And it was just like, no, I'm going to go back to what I was doing. Well, she was really excited about this. And then she said, Tim, let's watch it from the beginning. Mm. And so I was like, okay, let's watch it from the beginning. I started watching the show and all of a sudden I was riveted. I was like, this is amazing. And I remember it was, you know, weeks later when we got to that episode. I remember
the original episode.
Yeah. Right. I watched and I was like, oh my goodness, this was the point. And in my mind, I was like, wow, I thought this was, you know, I didn't want to pay attention to this at all. I thought it was irrelevant. And now I'm just hooked. And as I think about that, I think that's a way a lot of people think about the Old Testament. Mm. You know, they pick up their Bible and they open up to Leviticus or Numbers, or they read a story about Samson or something like that. They pick it up and they're trying to have a quiet time. You know, hey, you know, Lord, please speak to me today. Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey.
Right.
Well, right. You know, I guess I'm going to go to work to battle today. Or, you know. But I think if we can recapture that idea of story, that God was shaping a story in the Old Testament, as we said in the last episode, that story leads to Christ, but then finding our story at the intersection of what God is doing through all of this, I think that is so key. And I think it will really help us as we seek those treasures, old and new.
Well, and in film, in the Bible, in basically any part of life, context really, really matters, right? Just like you described. I always tell my film students, when I was teaching back in the day, I would say, let's say you walked into a store and you saw this old piece of writing, right? Okay, you saw this old piece of writing and you started reading it and it was from a man to a woman. And you were like, okay, you need to know a few things, right? You need to know a few things like, who is this man? Who is this woman? What's their relationship together? That's going to matter. That's going to matter how you unpack the story. Are they brother and sister? Are they husband and wife? Are they strangers? You know, what is actually on the paper? Is it a shopping list? Is it love letter. What is it? How old is the paper? What historical marker does it have, right? That's going to interpret, be an interpretive factor in how you deal with this kind of thing. And so we're all storied beings, every one of us. And so we do that naturally. But I think sometimes when we come to the Bible, we might shy away from that and just think, well, you know, the Bible is just, I just open it up and start reading it. And we don't apply those same principles, right? And you had said this, I think, in our first episode, which is that the Bible was written for you, but not to you. And I think that's a crucial distinction, right? Where maybe in our Western culture, we think, well, you know, this is Greg Cash's book. And in one sense, that's true. But in another sense, that's exactly not true, right? It wasn't written to me, though it is written for me. And and it's all written through the power of story.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as we approach the Bible, we always come with a set of questions, whether we know we're asking these questions or not. Some of those questions are, who am I?
Exactly.
What am I here for? And we intuitively sense that the Bible is a story so much bigger than us, but we also can find our meaning and our purpose through understanding what God is doing. And so as we talk about it today, I think it'd be helpful to orient ourselves and try to really dive into the story of what God was doing in the Old Testament, connect that to the New Testament, and then try to discern what does that mean for our lives as we live out God's calling today.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about, is there a basic approach or maybe a lens that we should utilize when it comes to opening up the Bible in general, Old or New Testament? And I guess where I'd like you to go as I think about this to orient to us further is, we know that God's a God of covenants. We see covenants in the scriptures all the time. Jesus instituted a covenant. All these covenants are present. Does covenant play a role in not only the lens we should use, but in the role that maybe God used to unpack, redemptive or human history?
Absolutely. I think covenant is probably the most important concept in understanding the Old Testament as an unfolding story, as well as understanding, again, how we know God and relate to him. And the word covenant, I love this. A lot of scholars argue that the root of the word covenant is something that means fetters or bonds. So the idea being that when God says, I am making a covenant with you, that God is binding himself to us.
Interesting.
And I want us to think about this for a moment. God did not have to enter into a relationship with anyone. God created the world. He created it for his glory. We rebelled against him, and we'll talk about that more as the story unfolds. But God willingly enters into a relationship with us in order to redeem us from our sin and bring us to himself. And so the idea of covenant, you cannot understand covenant if you don't understand it in a relational context, that God wants to have a relationship with us, and it's through these covenants that he binds himself to us and reveals himself to us. Covenant is crucial. Covenant is crucial in understanding the story.
So if we think about the covenants then in, let's start with the Old Testament. I know that there's some debate about, what is a covenant and where they are and where they aren't. We don't have to go into that. But can we just maybe walk through a few of the covenants? And because I do think it helps me. I'll speak for myself again. It helps me when I know, where am I at on this timeline? If the Old Testament is a timeline of covenants or even events, then where am I at? If I'm reading a particular text, where am I at on this covenantal timeline? Because that'll help orient to me, not only to historical markers, what's happening, but then why those principles, biblical principles, even matter in my present day life.
Yes.
And how to interpret them properly, right? So can we just maybe unpack a few of the covenants as we kind of maybe unravel God's story a bit?
Yeah. Let's just do a walkthrough. And starting with creation, it's an amazing thing that the Jewish story doesn't start with the Jewish people. It starts before any people, but it starts with the Creator God creating all humanity in his image. He gives them purpose, dignity, life. He puts them in the garden. They have a perfect relationship with him. He's their father. They're his children. He loves them and he's with them. But because of sin, the sin of Adam and Eve, they're separated from God. They're exiled from the original place where God wanted to be with them in perfect harmony and perfect relationship. They live in sin, and very quickly we see that sin spread. So you read through the first 11 chapters of the Bible, it goes from perfect garden to world-destroying flood because sin becomes so pervasive and the violence that fills the earth is so grievous to God that he says, I'm sorry that I made it at all.
Right.
And yet, and this is where we see the heart of God on display through the story, God says, even though these people are totally wicked, I still am going to redeem them. I still love them. I created them. I'm not going to abandon them. And so post-flood, he creates a covenant with Noah and with all the earth. He says, I'm not going to destroy you with the flood again. He gives them some kind of new parameters to live by. But immediately the story goes into Abraham, God calling Abraham in Genesis 12. He says, through you, all nations will be blessed. We see the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see them grow into a nation. God's fulfilling his promises to Abraham. We see God using that nation of Israel as a missionary nation, a kingdom of priests, a kingdom that is presenting the very presence of God to the watching world. And we see the rest of the Old Testament is really the unfolding of that story of Israel as God relates to the world through them. So we have this overarching narrative that, again, reveals the heart of God to have a relationship with we who are rebellious, these sinners who over and over fail. God loved us enough to say, I'm binding myself to you and I'm leading you to a destination where there will be a new covenant, where someone will come and do what no one else has done. He will provide a true sacrifice, an eternal sacrifice. And of course, that's when we get to the New Testament. So we can unpack any of that more, but there's so much richness in understanding how that story unfolds. And then, like you said, when you read an individual text, you can say, well, this is where I'm at in the story, and it will make so much more sense. Yeah.
It's fascinating to me, too, the progressive nature of God in terms of clarity through the covenants, right? Because again, one covenant might start with, you know, hey, Noah, what we call the Noahic covenant, hey, you know, we're no longer going to destroy, I'm no longer going to destroy the earth. Boom, be fruitful, multiply, etc. Okay, Noahic covenant. Then we go to Abrahamic covenant, or Abraham comes in the scene. We have now we're going to have a people. So first it was a covenant with, you know, with Noah. Now it's going to be a people. Then we get into Moses, right? We can get into all these things that I know you're referencing, Davidic covenant. But this people progressively starts adding these kind of elemental factors of like the richness of this covenantal relationship with God that's leading somewhere. But it's fascinating to see how it unfolds. Starts and truly like any good storyline, you don't give all the information right up front, right? And so God progressively in human history, which we are a part of, and I really want to focus and emphasize that we're in that story. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But the idea of progressively getting more detailed and more detailed as time goes on, it's fascinating.
Well, it is, and it's incredible. And that's why we're so passionate about reading the story of Scripture and understanding it, because in understanding that story, we understand ourselves. But I think it's also so important to remind ourselves, some people ask, why didn't God, you know, just right after the fall, after Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden, why didn't he just send Jesus? Why didn't he just send Jesus to redeem right there? Why did he wait thousands of years to send Christ? And why is he waiting to send Christ again? There's all these questions that are kind of wrapped into this. But here's what I think we see is that in the unfolding of this story, we see God's character and love on display. And it's over and against oftentimes the failure of humans. So God calls Abraham and he says, Abram, later Abraham, through you all the nations will be blessed. Well, we see Israel and we see God enter into a particular covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and with that, all the sacrificial system. Well, what does that sacrificial system show us? It shows us the holiness of God. Mm-hmm. It also shows us the desire of God to be with a sinful people and his willingness to institute things that will allow that to happen. So the idea is there would be no need for a sacrificial system if God did not want to dwell with his people, right? I mean, he gives us that opportunity, or he gave Israel that opportunity to be in his presence, but he knew that it had to be through a sacrificial system. Same thing. You talked about the Davidic covenant as Israel continues to develop. They ask for a king, and even in that, they rejected God, but eventually he says, okay, I'll give you a king, and that king, second king, David, there's of course the first king, Saul, that didn't go well. But David, a man after God's own heart, totally imperfect. I mean, in some ways, miserably imperfect. But he comes in 2 Samuel 7 and he says, God, I want to build you a house. And God says to David,
so good.
He says, David, you want to build me a house? No, I'm going to build you a house. So it's not just that it's a story. It's an incredible story that all the way from the beginning of the Old Testament to the end, God is revealing himself. He's showing his character and he's drawing our attention to a specific plan of redemption that, of course, we believe is fulfilled in Christ. The more we understand, it's kind of like your favorite movie.
Yeah, yeah.
The more you understand, the more you watch it, the more you're like, I want to watch this again. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to understand it. Your favorite movie, you don't just watch it once. You go back to it again and again and again because you can appreciate it. You can savor it. And I think the same thing is true as we understand the story of the Old Testament.
Well, and like my favorite movie, the first time you watch it, it might be, what? You know, the first yes. half of the movie, like you described with Melissa, the first half of the movie is like, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what we're doing. I'm not sure the context. I'm not sure where we're headed. Boom. Some sort of key event happens and it reinterprets for you. It reinterprets the entirety of what you just watched. Then when you watch it the second time, you go, there were hints everywhere. They were giving me almost everything right there. I just couldn't connect it. I couldn't see it.
Yes.
And that's what I'd like you to talk about just for 1 second. Can you talk about not only that, certainly in the biblical narrative, but also the horizontal dynamics of that? I really think that's an important factor.
Yeah. And this is where it really is fun. And I think it can be so rewarding. And again, it has to rise above the level of just opening a text and hoping I get, you know, my devotion time out of it. And that's important. That's good. But we will get so much more if we can understand what the authors were trying to do. And here's what I mean by that. We don't, you know, as we approach any text or say you're watching a movie, you want to understand what is the director drawing my attention to?
Yeah, right.
How is he presenting the story and where is he taking it? Well, the biblical authors, and this is I think so important to remind ourselves, the biblical authors understood themselves to be a part of a developing narrative. Mm. Or let me try and throw out an analogy that might be helpful. You know, we live in the Ozarks and, you know, Greg, you've been in Missouri for a year. We talk about floating on rivers.
Yeah,
and by that, we literally mean floating. Yeah. If you want to go on a float trip, you're going to sit in a canoe and have a good time. But here's the analogy. On a river, that river is moving constantly downstream.
Right.
And there's going to be all kinds of bends and curves. You don't know exactly where the destination is unless you've been there. Mm. But as you're going down the river, you know you're moving toward a destination. Well, the biblical authors knew that. And here's how we know that they knew that. Because they tell us. They tell us in various places. For instance, Genesis 3, foreshadowing that a seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Or Genesis 49, where Jacob says of Judah, a ruler will arise out of Judah. The scepter will never depart from Judah. Or the end of Deuteronomy, where it says that there's never been a prophet like Moses, but according to Deuteronomy 18, there will be a prophet like Moses who will speak the words of God and lead his people. Notice again in Matthew 5, Jesus speaks from the Sermon on the Mount as a new Moses, fulfilling this that's in Deuteronomy 34.
We
could speak of how the Psalms do this in Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? This is Jesus fulfilling the Psalms. The prophets, of course, point forward to one who will come and who will fulfill all of the promises that Israel was created to do, but in so many ways failed to do. So we see this developing story, and the authors understood themselves to be a part of it. They didn't know exactly what was around the bend, but they knew that this river, this story was taking them to a destination. And of course, we believe that destination is Christ.
Well, and we even spoke about this in the past. We saw even in John 4 that the woman at the well, when she's speaking with Jesus, even as a member kind of outside of the people of God, says, when Messiah comes.
Yes.
When Messiah comes. So there was always this expectation, always. And this is what I hope people capture in the love of the text, specifically Old Testament narrative, huge, and then fulfillment in the new, is just the bigness of this, the richness of this humongous story that's been just unfolding in real history with theological implication, but certainly just this momentum, always looking forward, so much so that a Samaritan woman goes to Jesus, a Jew, Messiah's coming. And he's going to tell us everything.
Yeah. And absolutely. They were expecting it. There was an anticipation. Why? Because they understood their scriptures. So they understood that they were looking forward. And I also think that as we understand that unfolding narrative, it so helps us with some of those kind of problem texts that people look to and say, well, God commanded this. Well, if we understand how that works in the overarching plan, we have a whole lot better way to understand, grasp, and still find the very presence of God in the text, even with things that kind of might strike us as difficult. So yeah. Understanding it helps in a number of ways. And it is so crucial to understand that this whatever text you're reading, it is part of an overarching story.
So Tim, let's talk about some New Testament reality, right? Because that's the covenant that we live in. Mm-hmm. God is still a God of covenants. We're in the new covenant in Christ's blood that we speak about. Now, if that's true today, and I think sometimes we differentiate incorrectly, and I'll speak for myself again. Sometimes I have kind of categorized this, or maybe compartmentalized is a better word. I compartmentalized the idea of history. There's Bible history, and then there's like modern history, right? So I lived in Jerusalem, and so I would sit and I would go to these locations and these Bible sites, and I would go, oh, wow, this is so cool because this was Bible times, and now we're not in Bible times. Well, in one sense, I get why people say that, but in another sense, that's exactly incorrect, right? Because I think that's a poor, that doesn't show the progressive nature of God still moving in history, right? But here's what I want to ask you. Are we still a part of the story? And by that, I mean, seriously, if we're trying to really think about this question, are we still in that river that you're speaking about? Maybe the same river that King David is a part of, right? So are we still in the story as much as Moses was, Noah was, all the key figures? Are we still playing a role in this story today?
Yeah, absolutely. And there are a couple of things that come to mind. One, Hebrews 12, which is just a picture where it says, since you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that the author there is literally telling us, all of these Old Testament saints, as well as the New Testament saints who have gone on before us, it's like they're watching us, running a race, fixing our eyes on Jesus who has run the race before us. So Jesus is at the center of all of it. But as we think about walking out our part in the story, it's the same story. God wants to have a people who know him, who love him, and who then, once they've entered into a relationship with him, share knowledge of him with others. So the language of the New Testament, we are ambassadors. Well, ambassadors right. are people who have been commissioned. They know who they're working for. They have been, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, where that text is, he says that we have beheld the glory of Christ, that he's transforming us to be more like Christ. And as he does that, we are ambassadors sharing that good news with others. So two things going on at the same time. God is transforming us, and God is commissioning and sending us to share the good news. That is who we are. The story is one story, and we've entered into it at a certain point. But certainly, it's almost like, okay, that river leads to Christ, but then as Christ came, that river enters into a new portion, a new segment, so that we continue to proclaim Christ until he comes again. And that's the point when the story will truly reach its full culmination, and we'll get to celebrate for all eternity because Messiah has come and we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. Absolutely.
Amen. And so we still have the horizontal effect. We're still looking to the horizon, even today.
Exactly. And I love that language. I think we read the Old Testament with our eyes on the horizon.
So good.
We read the Old Testament looking forward and letting it propel us forward. So again, we're not, like you said, we're not under the old covenant in terms of, we don't offer sacrifices. We're not under the Mosaic law.
Right.
And yet we believe the Old Testament teaches us about the character and the heart of God, which is again, why it's so valuable. We don't dismiss it as irrelevant. We don't say, well, we don't need it because we have the New Testament. No, God has given us all of the scriptures so that we can know him and know our part in that story.
Thank you for joining us today for Treasures Old and New. If you would like to go deeper in your walk with Christ, be sure to check out our new training page at equip.hbclebanon.com.